Welcome to Hive Scum.
Welcome to Hive Scum.
Welcome to Hive Scum.
Welcome to Hive Scum.
One of those will work.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to Hive Scum.
The grim and gritty podcast for the 28 community.
We like cookies, and the boys all brought delicious snackaritos today.
Thanks, Grandma.
Thanks, Grandma.
Thanks, Grandma.
Grandma's cookies.
My grandma's dead.
Grandma's cookies.
Grandma's ass cheeks. Jesus Christ. The deranged podcast for the 28 community.
Hey, what's up? I'm Steve at South of Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's up? I'm Gage at No Clear Coat.
Hey, what's up? I'm Terry at Stone.jaw.
I'm Phil.
Well, pleased to meet you, Philly.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Wait, Phil, where can we follow you?
Yeah.
No one wants to follow Phil.
That's
just kidding. I love following Phil.
License plate is AV66292.
Nice. Yeah.
Follow him closely.
My driver's license number is Connecticut 112918764.
Do you call
this
know
number?
That?
Yeah, is that really yours? Oh, nice.
To report bad driving.
Yeah. 1-800, how's my kitbash, or eat shit, or something like that.
1-800, eat shit.
1-800, eat shit.
That's such a naughty sticker, Steve.
Yeah, I know. Especially when you call it.
Have you tried?
Yeah. I told you after we got the stickers and I called it. You know what it brings you to?
What?
Subway?
Should we call it on the air?
Yeah, call it right now.
What is it? 1-800, eat shit?
1-800, eat shit. It's funny.
Is it funny, Gage?
It's
because it
so
sounds dirty.
Funny.
What are you? Oh, you're actually calling it. No.
Well, me and my sexy girlfriends are...
No.
You're getting billed
why
by
is,
a minute for
why
this.
Why is eat shit a damn plural?
I imagine there is another word in
combination.
There when you type it in.
You think so?
Maybe.
Eat. Puss.
No.
Puss.
That'd be 7877.
Tell you
what
right
do we
now,
have right now?
A lot of pest control companies... their phone number ends with 2847 because that's bugs.
Bugs.
Eat bugs.
Maybe it's eat bugs.
Eat bugs.
Yeah.
The bug eating podcast.
Eat bugs. Welcome to the bug eating segment.
No. There will be no bug eating after the traumatizing incidents of the group chat.
Yes. Bug burgers.
If you're coming to Nemo, you might be eating mealworms.
Yes. Delicious mealworms.
We never got an answer on that?
No.
There's. Oh, okay. I mean... Dude.
You're eating bugs this year, baby.
Shout out to the Chef Boyardee, Oliver.
I don't know if I've ever had bugs before. I've eaten ants as a child. Like a
like for
you know,
fun?
Like
there's a video of me eating
like
a bumblebee
dare.
As
what
like a little kid.
But
I got stung in the mouth by a bee once. That's about the extent of my bug eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say I've done it since.
My dog stepped on a bee.
My dog stepped on a bee.
No one's ever seen that.
No.
It's Amber Heard.
Oh,
it's really,
I don't.
I've only seen it out of context, but her just like crying.
Yeah.
Crying like on the witness stand.
What?
Yeah, this is the whole side of the world.
So, what have you guys been up to? Gage, what have you been up to?
Oh, God.
Put him on the spot.
I took home my Chaos Dwarves from the display case and I started painting those.
Nice.
Good job.
How are you doing it?
I'm using
a brush.
Yeah, I'm using a brush.
Nice to the classic technique.
yeah, you know. Believe it or not, acrylic paint as well.
Whoa.
Yeah, on the brush.
Jesus Christ, dude.
No, I'm using a transparent black from
Monument.
Oh,
that was
that one, bring that
probably
one
the
home?
Best crispy snap
was
we've
a
ever
good
had.
Good CZ.
Yeah.
Transparent
black is from Monument, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Does it act like a contrast paint?
Yeah, it's literally just the black Templar contrast paint.
Would you say it's better?
I'm not versed enough to care or know, but
yeah.
It's working. I'm just going to do mine kind of black and goldish, but with little red accents, where I think traditionally it's the other way around. Looking through the codex that Phil gave me, thank you again, they use a lot of blue, like a sky blue.
In Chaos?
Shitload of Chaos Dwarves.
On
yeah.
what?
They're fucking
clothes?
Weirdo hats.
Fuck that.
And I was like, I'm not using sky
black,
blue.
Red, gold.
What's your beef with sky blue?
What the? On a K. Okay, if someone says chaos dwarf.
Yeah.
Maybe they worship Zinj.
Yeah, I don't know. You could go very typical and use red.
Yeah.
Or you could be chaotic and use blue.
Sky blue. Sky blue. That's a good point. All right.
Chaos.
I'm just actually more chaotic.
I'm a fucking poser, all right?
Yeah.
Now we know.
Yeah, red's sort of the neutral of the chaos colors. Truly chaotic energy is going like pink and sky blue.
Which is very Tzeentch anyway. So.
Yeah. There we go. There you go. We've cracked the code. GW secrets unmasked.
What the hell else have I been doing? Oh, working on my board.
Oh, God. That's going to be everybody saying
the
same thing.
I know. I don't want to. But
no, you have to. I mean, because it's consuming everything we have.
I kind of realize I'm cheating with mine a little bit because it's like mountainous. And I'm trying to just do a shitload of trees for it. But then I realized I'm not doing any like not to obviously spill what Steve's been working on, but Steve has a billion things on his board
it's
he has
so
to do.
Cool. We'll talk about that in a little bit because
and mine won't have any of that. So now I'm like, well, now I can do other things. So
what do you mean?
Well, like rather than working on the board, I made two more guys for
you
my
have three and a half weeks. Just FYI,
keep
in check.
Wait, what?
He has three and a half weeks.
Three and a half. Yeah,
it goes fast.
Maybe
too.
I should get a calendar here, or we should set that calendar.
We have. Remember when we had one and everybody
we'll
wrote
set
their
that
birthdays
back up.
On it.
I made two more guys for my Vistarian Warband this morning. Actually,
nice.
I woke up dumb early.
To talk about that.
Yeah. So, I found.
What did you do for it?
I'm using. I believe it's Westphalia miniatures.
Okay.
They did the Morkborg. Miniatures.
Oh yeah.
And there's like some real creepy wizard guy in there that his vibe is the same.
Yeah.
Terry, are you checking if we're recording?
Yeah. You know me.
Listen, we didn't even address the elephant in the room. You're here after we fired you last episode.
Yeah, they gave me one last negotiated with the HR department and they said you have to let him have one last episode.
One more.
The Hive Scum Union said, you know.
Yeah.
It's in the contract.
They said you have two choices. You could walk away with your head held high.
Or you could finish out the year.
You could crawl your way back and punish them with one last episode.
We let them finish out the year. Yeah.
Yeah, begrudgingly. They changed the lock on the door. It's really messed up. They changed the code to get in here. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. Your desk is just storage now.
Yeah. They peed on it. but anyways.
Anyway,
that sounds really cool.
Yeah, I'm using miniatures from that.
Now your board, I don't think you ever broke down your board on
it's
the pod.
Inspired by the World War One series Isonzo video game, but I just really wanted like a mountainous board.
Yeah,
I'm still debating if I'm gonna have a waterfall in the middle, but
ooh. But I thought it was like frozen.
We want so I think the idea that's cool is verticality without. Being an explicit cityscape.
Correct. Yeah. And I really want like a, I think it's Empire and Flames.
It is Empire and Flames if you're thinking about outside of Mordheim.
Yeah, it's the Altdorf siege scenario, I think, when you look it up.
Altdorf.
It's literally just like a mountain, it's like a forest combat scenario where everyone always makes like some foresty thing. But I just wanted trees. I just wanted trees. I haven't made them yet.
Mesh tape.
How are you going to make the trees? Wires?
The wires are going to help me. All three of them are coming up. We're going to make trees.
Oh, and you're going to twist them together using your drill to make an armature out of the wires.
Yeah.
Out of the Wire Brothers?
No, I'm going to use the
good puns.
Gardens of Hecate terrain tutorial where she did a glycerin soaked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I definitely feel like I've talked about this on the pod.
As the days go by, it will remain.
Yes.
Because it's glycerin.
Because it's glycerin. This same bit happened.
Remember that?
Now we remember
that.
We're back
now
on track. It's a mountain board. There's trees.
So yeah, you must have talked about this before. But it's going to be snowy, right? No snow.
I'm going back and forth on snow.
Snow's kind of cool.
I think I might.
Snow's the last part. You don't have to worry about that till you're finalizing.
I might dabble with snow for Jaleeta.
See, there you go. But the board could be a Jaleeta board. Mm.
Is it really pronounced with a soft G?
Jaleeta.
Yeah.
I thought it was Goleta.
I thought it was Goleta, too, and that's how I'm going to
say
it.
Well, if you listen to Dragon and Turbolasers where they interview...
Which episode?
Put him out of
74.
Spot.
Nice. Nice pull.
He made that up.
It could be right, though.
It could be.
I don't know. You're taking a chance. What are they on, like 105 now? 103?
Yeah. 103.9.
103.9. The Hype Scum Channel coming deep from the underhive.
Wow.
Episode 74.
Oh, fuck. It is.
It's 74?
It is pronounced with a. So yeah. It is literally the word gelid just means cold.
Oh.
Guys, so we're gelida. In tune with how things are named in this
cold.
Hobby.
Yeah. Well, listen, as a fucking. Clearly, I love a thesaurus.
That's true.
If you look at the board there.
That's yeah. True. 74 is not the episode name, but. Or number, but anyway, you could find it on their thing.
Yeah, but that's really cool. So this board, though, is not going to be Gelida themed.
No, I think...
Because that would be kind of cool to dual purpose it.
I think so. I could also just steal like my mom's Department 56 stuff and use it for that as well. But,
yeah,
you know, maybe we'll get to that in the future. I just really want to make trees.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, come on.
We need some trees. We need some trees.
Need trees. Need them. Save the trees.
Save the trees.
I'm with you on this one. Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Since you're with me, what have you been working on?
So I've been doing a lot of painting random stuff. Pick up model, paint model, put model down. But I've been trying to keep it on theme. So there's like a Nurgle Space Marine in there. There's like a bunch of Rohirrim. Just keep bashing up Rohirrim from different sets, historical sets, putting them together, painting them up, putting a little green on them, saying you're part of the Rohan Empire.
Your whole battle company is finished, right?
My whole battle company, besides my leader's unmounted model, is finished. Ah. But now I have to give them all horses and make them all models.
Did you
cavalry?
The last
models.
Game we played, did you? Unlock another horse?
I'm going to need to. I didn't realize when I gave one of my heroes the Path of the Knight that inherently baked into that, you need to immediately buy a horse from your thing or you can't take that path. So technically, I wasn't even supposed to play with them unmounted, but you know, I'm a cheater. So.
And this is why you're getting kicked off the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, enjoy it. anyways, so he's going to be on a horse next time, and I want to put my other hero on a horse, so I'm just going to start making him a model on a horse because eventually he's going to be mounted as well. Besides that, I finally, because I have a pretty neat organization for my bits. Not going to, you know, don't want to toot my own horn here, but it's pretty
toot.
It's pretty nicely organized. But I have a Ziploc bag that was just like unorganized, like cool bits, cool models, cool stuff that people have given me or made me or whatever that has just all gone into this big Ziploc. So last night I finally broke it all apart and organized it by arms, legs, small details, random heads, bodies, torsos, and like full models.
That's
you know?
Crazy.
And each one of them have their own little thing. So I can be like, okay, let me pull this out. And then I've been working on my board.
What time did you complete this bits organizing?
What do you mean?
Was this like a late night?
Kind of late night. Later than I would have liked to be. But
well,
yes.
For you, that's like 7 p.m.
Yeah, I was going to say, late night for Terry is
I know. It might have been like 6:30 or something. I was doing a post-dinner thing where I'm like, it's time for bed. Because I had to do my Nemo board. You know what? The hardest, my Nemo board is at the point where it's in this awkward teenage phase, which is what I refer to it as kids, even though they don't understand because they're children and they've never experienced being a teenager. But I still refer to it to them. But I'm like, you'll understand it when you're older. You get to this point in the project where you're like, this sucks. I hate this. I have no direction. Things look like shit. I don't want to do this anymore. This is a bad thing, and I should just give up and start over. And especially I saw Tyler, Planet Piss Tyler. Tyler is all right at painting. He like finished his board in the space, and it looked like so freaking good. He like, I don't know, finished the last details, Mod Podged the whole thing, and then spray primed it, and then just seeing how beautiful it was.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, dude, this shit looks so good. Why didn't I do a 2x2 board? I did a 2x4 board, and it's going to take me so long to freaking finish this whole thing.
2x2 is pretty tight.
It's small. It's too
it
small.
It is, but it, I think it has so much verticality,
yeah, verticality
which looks
is what
really
helps
fun.
Would you have wanted to build a very vertical board?
I think I would have. But, however, I'm continuing on the entrance into Mordheim. So it's a 2x4 board with a road down the middle, and there's like kind of these houses.
I was gonna say, square footage wise, yours is still fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like bummed by it. Stoked on the whole thing finally. Because last night I sat there and I was putting the freaking cork bricks on, taking my time. I was like really sinking in. I wasn't like manically going at it and trying to block in things. I was like, okay, now find details. Now, like, let's get the bits in there. Let's get these little bits and pieces and maybe do a wash of like sand and glue,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to kind of, and I was like, okay, now it's like really coming together and it's looking very Last of Us. I referred to it as, cause there's like moss kind of crawling on the buildings and it looks, the road itself is like, there's
nature reclaiming it.
Yeah. There's like, you know, crap all over the roads and there's moss and there's things that are starting to grow and all of these, and, you know, there's like a, I don't know, there's random shit all over. And I realized when I was sitting down, I was like, okay, I'm just going to have the last thing I need to do is I'm going to create like a bridge that kind of goes from the building down to across the road. So you have like some verticality there. But that's it.
Have you seen the hype of zip lines lately?
I have, and Tyler's board.
Oh, his too, actually, but I wasn't even referring to
you actually
to that.
Use the zip lines?
Yeah,
in
there's,
game.
I guess, zip line rules.
There's, well, it's been a thing that people have been discussing on the Mordheim Facebook and stuff where to allow more verticality and playing across a board and you use zip lines and, like, you take an initiative test and then you take the zip line across and then you can, like, if you roll, depending on the initiative test, you either keep going or you don't do it at all. And
or you, like, fall.
I
or
mean,
fall.
If, I was going to say, if you fall on a zip line, you're probably
you
pretty
die.
High up.
You
yeah,
die.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we, because I was talking to Bobby, because Bobby's using zip lines on his board, and we were saying how.
Favorite terrain, Bobby?
Yes.
Yeah.
How it should be, like, only certain stuff can use it. Like, why should a zombie be able to use a zip line?
Yeah.
Why should a large creature be able
right.
to
use it? True.
So there's going to be, like, stipulations, I think, to
fucking
use
it. Fucking rat ogre flying down on a zip line towards
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's like a flat initiative test. If you do it, you can use it. Otherwise, you just can't use it.
So
or maybe
me.
You can use it, and depending on your roll, if you roll one, you just can't keep going after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone can use it except for the excluded models. And if you roll one, it's like kind of how Forbidden Psalm worked with the jumping rule, you know, jumping over gaps.
Yeah.
One is bad. Everything else is fine.
Right.
And a six is you can keep moving.
That's actually not Forbidden Psalm.
Oh, what is that?
That yeah, is what the is that? Lord of the Rings Strategy Battle Game Battle Company.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Or just regular game. But I'm thinking how, not to totally cut Terry off, but how do people use zip lines that are not...
Off.
It's not like zip lines had like the cool little handles.
No.
So people like are like swashbuckler, like grabbing their sword
oh, with
over
the sword.
It.
With
like holding
maybe
the
a little pocket rope.
Or,
little
yeah.
fucking...
yeah.
Yeah.
Using their shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zombies just using his limb.
So you're telling me that...
No, no zombies.
He's just using his elbow.
Tanner, Simso Miniatures, he can't go fly across with his train.
No.
Yeah. His train won't be able to use the zip line. Come
I would
on.
Say probably not.
Well, you know, it says in the rules.
Dwarfs can't use them. They're just not tall enough.
Oh, that'd
well,
be
that
cool.
Well, that was the thing. There's no rules for them. And like, yeah. we're finalizing the packet to have it printed. And I was like, should we throw in something about zip lines in case people's boards have them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you can always say that and be like, use your own discretion. Like, talk to your opponent.
Or like, whoever has the board, just have a little card on it.
Yeah.
Say,
ooh, that's
this
a really good
the
idea.
Rule for the board.
That's kind of what we've been, if anyone's bringing a board, we've been telling them, like, hey, if your board has special rules or requirements, you can have that there. Just make sure you print out a thing to leave with your board.
That's also a cool little way. Like, obviously, a board is like a good expression of like yourself to whoever's playing on it, but like, of your play style to be like, oh, there's little lava pits in my board. And
if you fall, you die.
You fall, you die. That's how my group plays. So now you have to play that way.
That's really fun, actually. Because then it opens up a whole nother just kind of, you know, an easy creative thing where now you can custom make your own little...
A little card. And
Or like a placard. Maybe it says it on like the side of a building or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's like something in there.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to do stuff for my board and I wanted to have like little like going in the crypts. Like there was like loot tokens you could roll to find extra. But I didn't want to go too crazy for Nemo.
Well, you'll see if you get there.
Yeah, we'll see if it even gets there.
Yeah. The last thing I've been working on, though, besides my Nemo board, which is finally coming together, is Vestarian cult stuff. I've been trying to come up with ideas, and I've been listening to the episode where they had Bill Ford on.
Yep.
The Wires had Bill Ford on, and they were talking about like the cults, and I was just trying to generate an idea. So I want to do a covenant, like these nuns, you know, these sort of like... psyker witch sort of nuns in this Imperium cult, and they're going to be the covenant of the covenant of the sacred mask, and it's going to be this sort of a Shroud of Turin kind of thing where it has like the blood of the emperor on there, and there's going to be like some sort of face on the like, and it's just going to be kind of displayed, and they carry it around with them, this like face that's painted onto like just like It's one of those like Jesus in the toast kind of thing. Where I can kind of see a face in there. But supposedly the fabric talks to the main.
Just imagine a banner
leader
with the Jesus toast on it.
But the fabric like talks to, quote unquote, talks to the main the main nun in the order, you know.
That's sick.
Yeah. But realistically, for the story, they don't know this, but it's like been tainted by Tzeentch. So they're just like
talking to Tzeentch.
Yeah. It's this thing that they think is part of the Emperor's like will and that the Emperor is speaking to them directly, but it's actually just like the Chaos Gods that are like slowly corrupting them and kind of wheedling their way into this like shrine world.
That I mean, like the beauty of Vistarion right now is like it is pretty predefined, but having your faith is obviously the main driving factor of any fucking 40K story, but any you could use Nurgle models and be like, no, they're praising the Emperor, not realizing it's not.
Totally.
That's works. Literally Tyler's.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it works for everything.
Yeah.
So it's like that's sick.
Yeah, and it's really fun. I was digging through the bits bin and I found a bunch of I don't know, they like have like spikes. All these women, they have like big floppy hats. I don't know who printed them. It must be you.
No, those were from.
They look Bestarium, but
no, they're when I was buying bits from the community at large.
Okay,
that came from someone's bits bin.
Oh, geez, whoever you are, shout out. But they're great. They're cool models, and I'm just gonna kind of like do head swaps and
where
do arm swaps.
Phil's turtle came from as well.
Yeah.
And so that'll be really cool to just have like a sweet little nunnery, a convent of
a
just
nunnery.
Like, yeah. And they're going to have like little like servitors and like kind of these homunculus sort of, is that how you say it? Homunculus?
Homunculi.
Homunculi.
Yeah. Yeah. Little like freaks.
Well, one is a plural and one's a singular.
Yeah.
Homunculus.
We'll see how many there are.
Homunculuses. So
yeah.
That's been my hobby week.
That's
at
cool.
a glance.
Your hobby week at a glance.
Hobby week at a glance.
At a glance.
At a glance.
Who are you glancing
at? I'm glancing at Phil because I want to know what he's been working on.
Am I the last one?
No.
Yeah.
No? Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Would you believe I've been working on a board, everybody?
What?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like everyone else, I'm working on getting my Nemo board done. The basic structure is coming together nicely. I spent $80 on aquarium wood for my
it looks so
my
good,
jungle
though.
My jungle board.
Worth
yeah.
it.
Just waiting on a few 3D printed components from our good friend Ian, ITT Minis. He's been doing a lot of labor for me as far as 3D printing some ruins. I am using a set of assets from our friend Trent at Miscast put out a terrain set a couple months ago maybe, so this is my first time doing terrain, so I'm kind of just winging it as I go. So far, the things that I have enjoyed the most is playing with the Proxxon.
Yeah.
I like chewing up the foam.
Sniffing all the fumes.
I like how easy it is to visualize a direction for it. My things that I am sort of not anxious about, but I'm like, all right, well, I'll figure it out when I get there, is sort of like textural elements. Once all of the like real hardscape is done, you know, how I'm going to throw in moss, how I'm going to throw in foliage, all that sort of stuff. You know,
yeah.
How to get it painted with a big brush. That's what
yeah.
A lot of washes.
Big soft brush.
Yeah. I always do terrain with a lot of washes.
Yeah.
Just remember, you can't spray paint it.
Yeah, I know you can't spray that.
Oh yeah. Well, you're gonna have to seal the shit out of it first.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Then
just
you
like
might
how
be able
Tyler
to.
Was doing.
Yeah. Mod Podge and black paint.
Yeah. Well, the Mod Podge that's just for the foam though, right?
For everything.
It's to seal everything down so it sticks and so nothing falls off, and then so it doesn't melt or fall away when you
spray paint. Spray paint melts the foam, right?
Yeah, but not if you.
But
seal
I should be
it.
Able to spray everything else though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mod Podge will also help your wood elements not soak up paint as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So to actually get a good, nice color.
Yeah, because even
if you water down the Mod Podge for that step?
No, you don't have to. I water it down with paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I probably usually put a little water in there, but not much. Yeah, because you don't want it to be like a wash.
No,
it's just like coming off of the shit that you're putting on.
Yeah, you want total coverage for sure.
Yeah.
Total coverage.
Something I just remembered too, Terry, you were talking about your board, and it will apply to yours as well, Phil.
Yeah.
The other night when Tyler did Zenithal his board.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are like, slap chop is stupid and doesn't do anything for their painting styles.
Yeah.
But a lot of people use it just to see the elements in a different way to know how to go from that point. So
he hated his board before. He was like, I don't even like this. And then he Zenithaled and he's like, all right, it's pretty cool.
And then you're like, all right, now I know where I'm going. So
no, and totally. And I think that it's understandable to not like it when you paint models, I think, because, you know, there's really only one way it's going to look when it's done.
Right.
But when you're painting a board, making a huge batch of green wash and just kind of slathering it on anything that kind of might be green and then brown and then black.
Yeah, yeah.
Putting that all together is going to be your quickest and easiest way to fill up as much space, paint it on your board as quick as possible, and then you go back and you hit edges and you're like, okay, I want this to be a brighter brown for the wood, or I want this to have a little bit of red in it. Or,
especially on like Phil's board.
Totally. And it makes quick work for I don't know. The idea of painting a board like you paint a mini is insane.
Yeah,
lose your freaking mind trying to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm prepared to lose it.
I think I don't know no other way.
I think yours is a little different, though. A lot of neutral colors.
Yeah.
It's like,
You're going to have an understanding where it just clicks. And you're going to go, this is so different and so much cooler.
Yeah.
Are you going to do the terrain? Because you obviously have a lot of wood and a lot of natural growth things on your board. Are you going to do the stonework as stone, or are you going to do it like big gold?
Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want everything to be really muted.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's been untouched by human hands for a long time.
And then for context, as far as using washes to paint your board, I painted my World War II or World War I last war board in 2 days, the whole board.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looked good. You know what I mean?
It's like, great.
Is it freaking Golden Demon level paint job? No, but it looks great and your models look good on it.
Yep. Golden Demon for terrain would be insane.
People, I can't imagine people do it.
I wouldn't even want to enter that.
Yeah, it's just really hard.
Maybe we should do that.
Have the terrain Golden Demon, where you have to build a board. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing.
I would say minimum board size for entry
3x3 inches.
No, I would say minimum entry size 2x2. Maybe this will be the next big internet contest.
Go. Yeah,
but obviously, give it a longer amount of time than you would a miniatures contest.
Mordheim is doing this right now. Like, the Mordheim Facebook group is literally doing a Mordheim terrain contest. It ends in January 6th, I think, is when it ends.
This is after this for sure.
Yeah,
I'm saying an in person thing though.
Oh yeah,
it's not like they judge a Golden Demon on pictures.
No, it should be in person.
But what if we did it for Vastarian?
We could.
Make a sci-fi shrine world.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
two by two, so you can use the kill sample process.
You can use
rules.
most skirmish games, yeah. Mini gangs, anything.
And then it would hype that whole, world up and provide you with a lot of different cool little vignettes of what's going on in that world, different shrines and what they look like.
I think Bill just built a board too.
He posted it today, yeah.
I didn't get to look at it beyond a couple of snippets, but
I'll have to go talk to the king.
6 months. I think 6 months is an appropriate amount of time.
6 months for...
Because then you don't have to hype it up. It's just here's the announcement, and then halfway, 3 months.
You know what? Make it... We'll twist the knife. Whenever the first Vistarian event happens...
Which is at the end of January.
Okay. No, I mean real. Well, they're doing Adepticon, but...
They're doing it under the Dice Fest too.
Yeah, but that's just a showing. I'm saying a Vistarian event. People are going out
get
to
together,
play.
Like a Grim Richmond.
Yeah.
All right.
Whenever
so
that...
Adepticon.
After the Adepticon one, the first real, only for Vistarian thing, that's when we'll have the terrain Golden Demon. We need to come up with a cooler name for it, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really cool idea. And it would be fun to make a sci-fi board.
Yeah.
Post about it in the Between the Bolter and Me channel.
Yeah.
In Rust We Trust Discord. Yeah, anonymously.
Hi, new user here. Just thinking of an idea.
No, I meant for listeners to post that they're doing it.
Oh. Hi. Random poster here. First time posting. What do you think about a giant event?
What do you think about this great thing I came up with? 200 people.
Yes. But yeah, Phil, anything else? Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on washing.
No, everything else is kind of taking a backseat. I brought a couple things to work on today when we're done recording, because I'm kind of... you know what? I might actually be able to start building some walkways. We got a lot of popsicle stick, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, maybe that's what I'll do.
Yeah. Dude, don't forget to tell them about Cond.
Cond. Well, it's not even a thing I'm working on. It's
but
just the idea.
That's still cool.
All right. I've succumbed.
Yes.
I've succumbed to the peer pressure. I will be partaking in Games Workshop's Lord of the Rings Middle Earth strategy battle game Battle Companies.
Yes, atta boy.
I've
ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
They got me, and really in brand. I've decided to go with the stupidest, most obscure faction. And, I'm gonna be conned the fake Mongols that side with Sauron.
They look sick.
They look really cool.
What models did you look at? Like, did you actually pick models yet for it?
I've found a few different STLs that I like, but yeah, aside from that,
yeah
you didn't like the lowly peasant Mongols?
No
They need to be
I need something
beaters.
Yeah, I need something real, something real extra.
Dude, it's gonna be so
the
sick.
Ones you sent look cool.
Yeah,
with the big heavy armor.
Yeah,
I'd be stoked to play with you. A lot of cinematic games so far here in the freaking space.
Yeah,
if only you were sticking around after this episode.
Yeah, I'll leave my models here, though.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody can use them.
Yeah. We'll keep playing your warband without you.
Thank you.
And leveling it up, and you come back, and you're just like, you have one sick as hell guy, but everyone else has died off.
Yeah, once my band
I'll play
is
your
over.
Warband, because I'm never playing mine ever again.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone hates me.
Well, Steve, that's true. Besides cheating in Middle Earth Strategy Battle Game Battle Company, what else have you been working on? Steve's playing the ghosts, everyone, and they're ass beaters.
Hey, at least
Dead
I didn't
of Dunharo.
At least I didn't pick the Rangers of the North.
Honestly, I think Rangers would be better.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Okay, oh, we're going to play that
only,
game.
Don't
I'll play those.
Only because terrain is so important to us as a playgroup. The reason, on paper, they are strictly better than everyone else because they're heroes and they are
they
fucking
have, like,
insane
two
at shooting.
Or two
they have two attacks
each.
They have two attacks each. In a game where shooting is broken.
Yeah. Like two shots each?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the way attacking works is that means you roll two dice versus somebody else's one dice. And so it's like, yeah, you're always
going to
crush.
There's also no saves. So if he just hits these two numbers, you're just fucking dead.
Yeah.
Nice.
But we play with a lot of terrain, so it could be a skill thing.
Yeah. No, I think that the Dead of Dunhar aren't so bad. They do scare me a little bit. But I think it's just because they're ghosts, and they're kind of scary.
Spooky.
They are.
But besides cutting you off.
Yeah. And calling you a cheater.
What have you been doing?
I've been working on my board.
Dude.
Been working on my board.
Oh, it's so freaking cool. I've been waiting for you to talk about your damn board for so long.
It's almost
I see
laid out.
The giant wheel.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
The mill building, when I printed it, I was like, yeah. So everyone knows I 3D printed almost every single piece of like actual buildings for it. Because I was not going to scratch build anything this year because the last time I scratch built on my board, a lot of pieces broke.
Yeah.
So it's all 3D printed buildings. So I am a fake terrain maker.
No, but you have and you have such a variety of different terrain. I don't think there's any repeats in there, right? It's all different.
No repeats.
But that's what I mean. It's like you could have gone very just like, oh, okay, copy paste.
Yeah, house A here, house A here.
But every little piece of terrain in your new board has so much character. Like the little wheel that Phil was just talking about, the little mill wheel. Everything. You look at this board even in its unfinished state, and there are so many little things that I want to play with.
Well, you might get to play with it soon. Because I'm at the point right now where all I have to do is glue buildings into spaces.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still figuring out some of the layout for... like the little market district and like where each building will actually go. But I'm starting to glue everything down, starting to put tiles on, starting to put curbs in. And once that's all done, it's go time.
Watching you put it together was like, I was like, wow, it's maestro at work. It was beautiful, man. I was sitting there watching you talk it out with somebody, maybe Maggie, and like you were like, well, I pulled this forward just a little bit, and it all clicked into place, and I pushed this here, and what do you think about doing this here? And I was like, damn, I am on my board mashing shit into other garbage. Like, I'm just putting things together and trying to make it work. Yours is like, seriously, it's like watching the master kind of put everything together and making it really look.
Well, that's always been my thing when it comes to like playing these stupid little games. Like, even like playing with G.I. Joes when I was little, like the houses had to look appropriate to the guys that I'm playing with, or like when I would play with my little models before I knew how to play any of these games. I would get like little houses that were size appropriate to the guys, and like very meticulous about layout.
And boy, does it show. And it's beautiful. Every little inch of this feels playable, but and feels crowded, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
It feels tight, like a real city would.
That's the what I'm going for.
It's so freaking neat.
I'm always like putting little guys down to be like, oh, does that work? Does this lane work?
I think that's an important part that not a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
Like putting their models down to make sure people can actually use it.
It's actually usable, and it's actually fun while usable.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you're making something as populated as your board is, you have to. Or it's just a bunch of 3D printed buildings just fucking thrown on a board, and you can't use it. There's no line of sight for shooting. There's no line of sight for
well, that's marching, the point. Charging. Like, you know, you don't want like big lanes where someone can just get fucking murdered while they're trying to cross the map, and like
a giant road down the middle of your board or something.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want that.
But see, that's the thing. Your board will have scatter that can work on it.
Cover terrain.
Oh, thank God.
That'll work. If you made it so the board was just flat like that, but you couldn't put pieces of scatter down, then we'd have to pull you aside.
Yeah. Have a talk.
Yeah.
Let me go back and pull some shit off.
No, I have these visions. Like every time I'm sitting at the board, I'm like, oh, this little spot is going to be such a cool spot to get models in to start fighting at. Like the crypts underneath or these walkways that I'm building over the tops of the buildings.
The crypts are so fucking cool. One side of his board is just underground. You can just be playing in this underground crypt.
I have a feeling no one's going to play in there, or I hope they do.
I mean, like, if I was playing Lord of the Rings Middle Earth Strategy Battle Game Battle Company, I would be just hiding down. Like in that last game we played, all of my guys would have gone and just hid down there and just like stood at defense and waited until all the other orcs killed each other.
So I had this idea in my head the other day about the church, and like specifically with that game system, because there's no round limit, of doing like a like escape the church when there's forces outside kind of overwhelming you, and you have to get like a relic out of the building and escape the map type of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of game that it doesn't matter. You just keep playing until the objective is done. And I was like, oh, that would be so cool.
Dude, I can't wait. So what's next?
Something like that, though, could also be written on a card for your board at Nemo. You know what I mean?
Like one player.
On top of this, there's a bonus objective where whoever does this finds this thing and then runs off the board, gets extra shit.
That's cool.
And you have the added bonus of being the fucking organizer. So if anyone thinks it's unfair, you say, well, fuck you.
Yeah. Don't play on my board.
I made this.
Oh, you have a problem? Guess what? I'm taking it away.
Yeah, you're kicked out of the fucking event.
So you've put everything where it's, or you're figuring that out. You're finalizing everything.
It's roughed in.
Then once you glue it down, what's the next step? Bricking it all?
Curbs and bricks and wall filler. I got to put down the MS Train Labs wall filler.
What's that? What's he use for wall filler? Just like joint compounds?
Yeah, just joint compound with a little bit of sand and glue in it.
Damn, that's a good idea. I have some kicking around.
I got a whole bucket over there if you want to take some.
Bucket?
We got a bucket of it.
Nice. No, that's... I can't wait. I can't wait to see this freaking thing.
I just want to get paint on it. I'm itching to get paint on it. I'm going to set my other board up, though, next to it today while I work on it a little bit to, like... see how it's going to look.
And that other board is so much fun to play on.
I'm kind of stressed because they don't like look the same. Yeah, like I'm worried about making them look in tandem sitting there. Because at Nemo, I'm going to put them on the same board.
Once they're painted, they'll look fine.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to line up perfectly to make it.
It lines up perfectly. Then I made them to line up perfectly.
Yeah, you're going to be so, it's going to be so freaking impressive once it's all done.
Like they're going to be on one table right next to each other, pushed up against each other.
Yeah.
And people are going to have to play nuts to butts at Nemo.
You're making friends, whether you like it or not.
That's right.
Listeners, if you ever get the privilege of playing on one of Steve's boards, it's a real treat to see the master's work done.
Real treat.
Yeah.
But besides working on my board, I've been building entire armies for One Page Rules regiments. I painted my entire 1,000 points of lizard men in probably 5 days. That was very fun. And now I'm moving on to the next 1,000 points of empire.
Yeah. And then what's after that?
Vampire counts.
And then what's after that?
I think Bretonnia, if I don't just do Bretonnia immediately while I'm doing empire, because I have knights already set aside.
Are you buying any of the old world box?
If that is a real box, I am buying the Bretonnia box 100%.
I mean, is that a, if that's
it
a
is.
Real
no, box? It is. Well, I didn't know how real it was. I didn't know if that was like some fucking BS that someone put online.
No, that's, yeah. No. That's
I don't know if they're box. Doing a joint box, though.
No, there is no joint box. Yeah. There is a Bretonnia box and there's a two more.
I have a limit in my head of like how much I'm willing to spend on that box. Mm. And if it's under $200, I am guaranteed to buy
it.
There's
no way it's under $200.
Do you see how many models it is?
Yeah.
I'll find
it. Comes with a whole army?
Yeah.
It's like
a good amount of stuff. It's definitely a One Page Rule 15 or a 1,000 point army.
It's like 50 to 70 models.
That's so
plus
sick.
Plus the rule book.
That's so listen, sick. In a box, that's nice.
I'm not going to play that game.
Old world. You say that. You say that, but the second one person in our crew gets tainted by it, we're all in. That's how it happens.
I'm on the One Page Rule grind set because it. Listen, listeners.
This is the Bretonnia edition.
That is so sick.
That's everything that comes in.
That is so. Okay, yeah, that's probably going to be. I'll spend $300 on that. listeners, if you've had an itch for Warhammer Fantasy Battle at all, One Page Rule Regiments. Scratches everything you could want without the bloat and bullshit of that old systems
of fantasy battles.
Yeah, it's you get to field all your old cool models. It's all regiments. You know, it doesn't have as much bloat and like tedious bookkeeping work and like rules as old fantasy, but it has enough that like strategy still 100% matters. The game is still won in the movement phase, I think.
The rule book for Old World is 352 pages.
Literally, fuck off.
Cool.
You know, like 200 of that is going to be just probably lore.
Lore stuff?
Got to be.
Yeah, but that's still 150 pages of rules.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. Ooh.
But.
It might be in the OPR? New world, you know what I mean?
OPR Regiment, great fantasy game.
I'm going to check it out. Thanks to you guys.
It's been a lot of fun. I've got 5 games in now, I think.
Yeah.
There's at least 3 of us converted.
Yeah, so I don't know what I would do, but I don't know.
You play your fucking PlayStation? Actually, I don't know. I don't know what else you have for fantasy.
No, I would honestly just like, since you loved it so much, it makes me want to check out the other One Page Rules games, which I've always been a little apprehensive about those games because I feel, and we were talking about this before, on the surface, I'm like, One Page Rules, that's not crunchy enough.
Yeah. Well, they're not actually one page.
And that's what I mean. Like, the name implies like...
That bothers me more than it should.
like, the regiment book for the basic gameplay, I think it's like 16 pages.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
16 pages? Pretty good.
Yeah, hey, listen, 16-page rule.
That's doesn't have the same ring to it.
You guys want to play a 16-page rule game?
But I'm more likely to try it out now knowing that there is 16 pages and it's not just literally like move, here's how you shoot, here's how you, and it's everybody,
right,
all the,
right.
You know, because then it's just like you're hitting on fours.
Too simple.
Roll a dice, hit on fours. Hit.
And it's you go, I go, which changes the regiment tactics of these games so much.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But I can only imagine how like the other ones are, like the 40K ripoff or AOS ripoff, you know. I say that loosely, but
people love those too, and I've always been like, meh, I don't know. One pages of all those rules, how could they possibly do that? But 16-page rules. My next favorite company.
It's funny, my beef with this game is like I'm like, well, they don't have their own lore. Like it's such a like they're just ripping off they're just using everyone else's stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice because now I just have all the lore from the games I like and I can just play the simpler rules.
Yeah.
It's like people with the they're so attached to the Wizards lifestyle.
Yeah.
Of like 5th edition is like, you know, I want to play in the Forgotten Realms. And it's like, you could play OSR.
Yeah.
With the same story. You're okay.
Yeah. No one's stopping.
Yeah. You can play any story in these systems. That's the craziest part.
I do it in Age of Sigmar every time I play the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
They say estimated price is going to be at least $300.
I'll pay $300 for that. I'll sell some models to buy that.
Priced out, it's about $600 worth of stuff in the box. So that's not bad.
Yeah, but like, in what realm do they think, like, oh, we can get people to just drop a bunch of money on a battalion box like this? Like
in the Forgotten Realm.
Yeah, in the Forgotten Realm.
Yeah. They're the same world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know.
But what I've been up to is that OPR, 1,000 points of each army. That's what I'm fucking going for. All the armies I didn't get to build when I was younger, that's what I'm shooting for.
No, I love that. I love that a game can be so good and immediately go like, oh, shit, this is a really good game, to the point where you are like, I'm going to make every army for this. And with your ability to paint quick and paint well, you'll be able to get them all done.
I think so. And I'm taking after you a little bit with all these, like half those Empire models are almost all painted. I'm just going to go in, paint the ones that aren't painted, and like doll up the ones that are painted to how I would like them.
Totally.
And then make it match my paint scheme.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, the way I paint is like 90% of it, or I try and get the blocking in of colors done as fast as possible. So if I have a model that somebody gave me and they're like, oh, I don't know, like you gave me all those zombies, and like skeleton lords that were like mostly painted and they look really nice. Why am I going to repaint that? Yeah. It's like the
just wash it and that ties it into everything.
Yeah. I'll just like do the last 5% of this paint job and be like, well, I want the skeleton's bones to be slightly brighter and just highlight them. And it looks like any other model I've ever painted, you know? And I don't know. I forget. Somebody did a video about that and they were like, oh, we're going to take this badly painted blah, blah, blah. And then just spend an extra 45 minutes on it. Like it was a quote-unquote bad paint job, a fail of a paint job. And this person just
Is that the eBay guy?
What's could have been. eBay Miniature Rescues?
Yeah.
It could have been that guy. But I think, I want to say it was like a Dark Angel or something. And the paint job was like quote-unquote bad. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, messy and paint was leaking from one area to another. And they just took the time to like go back and paint those little areas the right colors. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's all it needs, 15 minutes worth of work to take a quote-unquote bad paint job and make it a really nice-looking paint job. So, yeah, no, just fly through the old models that you had.
It's funny, I have all the vampires that I have from when I played Soulblight Gravelords, and I'm like, I'm just going to rip those off the bases and put them on a square base, and then it's done.
Just leave them on the circles.
No.
It's a faux pas.
No.
Can't do that.
You just put them on a fucking tray.
No.
Yeah.
Trey. Yeah. Yo, welcome to Team 28, Trey. That's sick.
Trey.
Shout out, Trey.
Gage, do we have a topic for this?
Are we recording right now?
Are we recording?
Gage, are we recording, Gage?
I don't know.
Can you double check? Terry's been concerned this whole time.
No, I already checked. I already looked. I can't help myself.
You looked multiple times.
Sometimes I get paranoid that I didn't. Gage didn't press record twice. And I even wrote it on the thing, press record twice. I'm a freak. I'm sorry. This brain is a bad brain sometimes. And I thought I pressed it twice. Shut up.
What are you talking about? The numbers don't move.
Oh, thank God this is my last episode. I lose my freaking mind here.
You're fired.
It's actually Terry firing all of us. Mm-hmm. He's taking the podcast
with him.
Yes.
It does say TR on the Spotify.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Anyways, Gage, since you're leading this podcast now, what's the main topic, buddy?
The main topic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is about our Age of Sigmar campaign.
Now, is this Age of Sigmar 3.0 or is it 2.0 or is it 2.5?
It's 3.0.
It's 3.0.
3.0.
Yeah. 3.0.
3.0.
Soon to
really
be 4.0.
You're saying
I'm not fucking changing to 4.0. I'm not doing it.
Listen.
What? No, no, no.
We're gonna.
Oh no, I'm not talking about like if we're playing if we're playing the third edition of Age of Sigmar.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, so, no, we're not gonna go back to 2.0.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck are you
rules.
Talking about?
I'm talking about so, the new age.
Of the campaign?
Yeah, the new age. Is it 2.5 or is it 3.0?
This is 2.0.
I'd say 2.5. So we had the first one that fell off pretty quick, and then the second one where I said, all right, I'm going to write a custom scenario for everyone every single month, and that immediately was undoable. So that really only lasted for a single month.
Yes.
And I don't know that everyone even played their game. So
right.
I don't know that that was a proper 2.0. So we'll say this is 2.5.
But it's been a lot of like back and forth and a lot of work. And I think that we needed those like two kind of early stages of this to figure out where it is now.
And still... We're still sort of in the process of figuring out what we want to do with it anyway.
Yeah.
I almost think there shouldn't be a time constraint on it at all.
No, I don't think so either. Like I've been saying either. I want it to just be like a sandbox sort of world to just play our games in.
Yeah.
You know, you can dip in and out whenever you want. You can play more than one army if you want.
What what are the steps that you're taking now in 2.5 to make it newer and exciting?
So, the new age 2.5.
So I have sort of divided the work that I need to do into three sections: figuring out the map rules, figuring out the sort of like army composition and the post game sort of stuff rules, and then just the actual game rules. So the actual game rules...
Well, step zero, probably.
Yeah.
Since our last episode, you've drawn the map.
Yes, you
did it. An extensive map.
Just a random night, Phil sends this very detailed map drawn out on our whiteboard.
Yeah.
Our 4x3 whiteboard over there.
Yeah, something like that. So I just... made like some map tool online that was just like a randomized continent, and I just copied that and then just divided it into
Northern Canada.
What are you talking about?
It looks a little Canada-ish.
How does it look like Canada?
You think that's like Alaska there? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think the lack of a solid blue ocean to sort of show where the edges of the continent are kind of make it hard to tell.
Yeah.
I just go with a marker and I'm just going
to
fill
it. I scanned it the other day with my work scanner. So yeah? If you wanted it.
Well, I don't know if it was you I was showing it to. I showed the actual.
Oh, we should post that somewhere. JPEG to.
Probably like a Patreon or something.
We could post it onto the Patreon.
Like that's what the thing looks like.
If you would like to follow along on our Age of Sigmar quest.
Yeah, if you want some of the cool rules and the cool maps and the cool doings that we're doing.
You can check us out over on Patreon. What's our website, Terry?
Patreon.com/HiveScum. You get an extra half hour of content every week. And every 2 weeks.
How much is it? Stuff.
It's just $5 a month.
For an extra hour of content, if not more.
Oh, a month. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Nice. It's not bad. It's a good deal.
Yeah, it sounds a lot better than a half hour every episode. An hour a month.
Look at this marketing genius here. Yeah.
Plus, all the other weird shit that's over there.
Shirt discounts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get much, but it's something.
Shut up, dude. Don't tell him. Yeah,
once everything is all figured out with this, it'll definitely all just be published on the Patreon.
Yeah, probably. It's the easiest place for us to post it.
People want to use that sort of stuff. And a lot of the campaign stuff should be usable in other game systems as well.
Yeah. And you're not overwhelming yourself with too much work.
No.
That was really
one of the things. Yeah, so some of the things that have made it easier this time is having the space here.
Yep, totally.
Because
true.
We have a dedicated area to play whatever time we want. We have a physical map. That, to me, was the biggest thing.
Yes.
Trying to do like just refer to a picture of a map in a Google Doc and refer to like grid numbers, that sort of thing, that was like undoable for me at least.
Now is this map like that's not changing? Is there's not more stuff going to be added to it? That's it.
Yeah,
maybe an island will rise out of the sea.
All right.
Who knows? Okay. Something
all
like
right,
that.
Cool.
But no, I'm not. That was annoying enough to draw. That took me probably like an hour and a half to transcribe all of that.
Oh, I just meant in your head, like that's all that you really developed so far.
No, well, because here's the thing, I'm not ultra concerned with the map as far as what it's going to do. Like, I'm not trying to tell a specific story. Like, I gave. Mm-hmm. You know, everything has like really like thesaurus ass names, and I really just wanted to.
I like that.
Yeah, well, I wanted to sort of just use those as a narrative prompt for whoever is playing a mission in that you know, in that zone or whatever, you know. We get the temple of certitude, the
shores of anguish.
Yeah. Shores of despair. Yeah.
Now, do you have a headcanon for the overall world in your, like, for
no,
you?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not good.
Because it'd be cool if you had your own. Well, because like,
we have, each of us has a narrative for our army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so porting it into there, maybe that will.
I think
the story might tell itself.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to change my story up a little bit because.
Same for this.
Yeah, and the same. I was in the first iteration of this. Like the story I wrote was very, it was grand. It was like my necromancer is going to overthrow Nagash, and like now we've been playing a little bit. And I'm like, oh my god,
Nagash
like
actually banished you to this realm.
And like so
for your hubris, yeah.
Yeah, and like I was just like, I don't know. You don't realize how big of a statement that is, and then when you're actually like reading the lore, you're like, oh, I'm an idiot. Like this is like a fool's errand.
But that's cool from the aspect of your guy. It's like this grandiose idea.
Yeah, and immediately he was just like cut off and sent into this world. Maybe it's just like, yeah, good luck. See you later. You've been banished to the nether realm of this world.
Your idea, Phil, when you were talking earlier off mic. The mists, like the Domain of Dread style demiplane action, is that going to be canon? Where
sure.
Maybe all of our armies are just ported here, and if we leave the confines
you set up,
of the map,
you set up
it just brings you somewhere else on the map.
You Mario 2 off the edge, and you come back on the other side.
No.
Oh,
well, there is,
cool.
There is a mission type with that.
There we go.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I believe that one is in the Forest of Illusion.
Ooh.
Yeah. You go one corner of the battle map. You come on, and to be fair, that is a mission that already exists
could
in
I
AOS.
Could I charge someone through that corner?
No.
Oh.
Now, the thing you were talking about, the depths of despair. What are you talking about?
Like
the
Domains of Dread?
Yeah. Is that Dark Souls?
No.
Is that?
That's D&D.
Oh, okay.
It was their way of just being able to put any spooky bosses in whatever canon they wanted.
Yeah.
For Ravenloft, you're just kind of ported into this demiplane and. Now you have to deal with Strahd or...
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then whatever property they went with, they kind of just made other spooky guys do the same thing.
In my head, this feels way more... And maybe it's just because we are all of this mindset and we're trying to make things more like grim and dark and
where are we trying
spooky,
to make it?
More grim and like also more dark and making it more spooky. It is, in my head, it's way more Dark Souls-y.
Yeah.
It's like more like...
Ever since Phil said that...
Yeah.
Like Phil made that stick in my brain. Age of Sigmar got cooler when Phil said that. And I was able to wrap my head around it that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I always think of, I don't know if it was a phrase that ever made it into the actual game, but I remember one of the trailers for Elden Ring, like there's just like a voiceover that says, well, you've reached the edge of the map or something like that. Just like sort of alluding to the... like indefinable physical characteristics of a world, which I think is, I think for it can make a much more interesting fantasy world than something with a set world.
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Well, you can also World of Warcraft it in 6 months and we're like, okay, we're
going to move
bored
to a
this.
Different plane.
A comet struck.
Yeah. I was going to say, or you just say, okay, a volcano fucking exploded in this one map territory and now the map's a little different. Or
you'd see there is a huge zone that just
that's
is
what
the,
I'm
the abominable volcano.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love it so much.
Yeah. Oh. So the other thing too is, so since we have all these different sort of areas represented is I really want to have a much wider variety of terrain here.
I think that's on the agenda.
Like
trees and swamps.
Which, I mean, as far as we can use like the simple mats just for the general color of a desert or a winter or whatever, but having different sort of stuff, I don't think we have a single tree in our entire
that's
huge
because,
terrain collection.
No. We have two trees, but they're the alien flower.
No, we have a lot of trees over there, but Phil won't use them because he thinks the trees... having
the
stop.
The unpainted
so
stupid
you,
ugly white trees
you have
well,
the,
I'll paint them
you have
but Phil hates them so much that I
don't
want to waste time.
I don't hate them so much but like the fact that it's just like a stump so
it's not
it's
a
just,
stump it's an endless tree
but you don't see the canopy.
Was this the Sims? The map is cut off because our camera angles from a weird spot? No
yes.
I'm with you on this.
I'm gonna paint them up.
I really like the tree shit that they have at
Battle Standard.
Dude, it's just a thing where you can just put different colored.
Yeah, I like that a lot
like
too.
You can put like the fall.
They need to be magnetized.
Should we just invest in some?
Has anyone looked into them?
Yeah, must have been. Yeah, they're like rubber plastic. They definitely bought that somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really nice though. I wonder how much they would cost.
I'm looking it up.
He's looking it up live on air.
Now, yeah, that stuff's cool.
So besides having, you have the map now, and the map is split up into a bunch of different areas.
30 zones.
So
with 30 different mission types for each zone.
And 30 different vibes too. They're all like very different settings. And so is the next step for us each, all 12 of us, or however many people want to partake in this campaign, is it to pick an area?
That's what I don't know. So I have not played a lot of map style games, and like I don't care that much about that. Like playing like the Total War games, I was always really fucking bad at the map part. So that's why I want to collaborate with everyone else to sort of see what they think should happen. Gage keeps telling me that I got to look at the Mighty Empires book just to figure out what mechanics will make the map fun, but also not a headache, not like a big thing that you have to like learn or like, you know, think too much about.
Or that somebody's just getting stomped to oblivion and they just don't have a, they're like, oh, cool, I've been completely annihilated. I have no home.
I'm just stuck in this world. Yeah.
The only thing I'll say is with the Mighty Empires thing, all of like the map turns and stuff, that could just be on you. So you'd be the one that would be like,
I don't want that responsibility.
But that's what I'm saying. If you wanted it to, you could say, okay, map turn happens after 3 games have been played. Then that's when people will gain territories, etc. Mm. It's like it's almost its own living player.
Because I was almost thinking like you don't even have to be adjacent to someone in order to.
It's kind of how you have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise you just end up playing the same person over and over again because it's like,
we're just right next to each other.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I figure if, you know, we just have the 4, you know, meta factions of Death, Order, Chaos, Destruction, that you can just defend any of those no matter where they are.
Ooh,
the
there you
right,
go.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So if I'm playing with Nighthaunt or Orlando Doom.
Yeah. Either of you guys can fight from any of the death control places. But the thing is, you also don't have to, you know, be fighting in a place that you control.
Yeah.
I like the idea that people can fight in neutral ground.
Right.
Where there is no, you know. But yeah, that's definitely something to hash out. I already figured out what the bonuses are for the different factions. Like if you, if a map square is controlled by death, you get to reroll ones of your ward save. So all of the death factions have a built-in ward save that's just part of being death. So rerolling ones, that's a fairly strong buff, but it's not overly complicated. It's not like a crazy thing you got to remember. For order factions, you start every turn with an extra command point. You know, you can
it gives you
an extra a tactical move to make, and it sort of leans into order.
Yeah,
you're going with a hierarchy. You know, the chaos stuff. You get +1 to casting and dispelling, I think. I wrote it down.
That's pretty good. Because dispelling is just beating the other person's roll, right?
Yeah. What did I put? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Once per turn, reroll, cast, or chant of one.
That's pretty
nice. So reroll a roll of one, yeah. So having
that's pretty good.
No, it's good. It is good. Like I said, I don't want this stuff to be crazy strong.
Yes, and these seem good.
Yeah,
and
so
not too strong.
Making things, you can always make things more. It's easier, I think, to sort of like buff things than it is to sort of like tone it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And the destruction was +1 on the charge.
No, it was you can, once per turn, you can reroll a die roll of a 1 on a charge.
Oh, on a charge.
On a charge.
Nice. So on your charge roll, not on the attacks or anything like that.
Yeah.
Specifically
yeah.
on the charge.
So let's say you roll in your short. You know, you roll a 5 and a 1, you needed a 7, you can re-roll that 1, but only once per turn.
Gotcha.
So if you have multiple units,
Real quick, isn't the Beastmen, they're all about charging?
No.
That's
ogres.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And are you considered destruction?
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
Interesting. How much did you pay Phil to put that rule in?
Yeah. I did not pay him anything.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I think I already have that rule built into my book, so I don't actually get anything.
Okay. Steve is winking.
I mean, he could
at
be.
Phil.
Yeah.
So I think I actually get nothing. Oh, out
is
of
that
this.
A $20 bill? I
yeah,
see?
For the listener, Steve is winking at Phil and smirking.
You was
my wallet's over there.
My contribution to this was sending Phil an insane document of all the old world magic converted to Age of Sigmar with custom magic rules and magic items.
Can we put this in, Phil? It's just this overcomplicated list of things. Yeah. Can we put all this in there?
No, well, but we'll figure it out because we also want to figure out new. I feel like we want to change up the post game sequence. We like rolling on tables, but I feel like a lot of the table rolling in the actual Path of Glory is just like.
Dumb.
Real mediocre. Oh, like, I don't understand a lot of the. Well, it's not that I don't understand. Like, a lot of the exploration stuff, you roll to uncover something. All right, so you found something, but you don't get the benefit of it. You have to actually pay currency to control that area that
you
discovered.
And then
you
have to level it up.
Yeah.
And then you don't really get anything.
So I think we will probably redo the entire post-game sequence, which I don't think will be that difficult.
No.
And then
I think you come up with some pretty cool stuff.
A lot of the new codexes have their own specific ones, too.
Yeah, that's...
have to build
no,
a city.
No, literally all of them. In third edition, every faction has a unique Path to Glory thing.
Right.
And that's totally fine. Anything that is like native to your book, I think, is cool, but I think that the base stuff leaves a bit to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing that I want to mess around with is like the army composition stuff, like essentially growing your force, just because it's another thing that feels super convoluted. Like, you need a barracks, you need to upgrade the barracks, you need different...
I like it just being point values and then unlock. I do like unlocking units. I like you start with X force and then you unlock units.
I like to
units.
Unlock an additional unit. I like the idea of unlocking like an ally slot.
Yep.
I think that's super cool. Like having to.
Oh yeah.
Do you think that the ally slot is like, how should it work? This might already be a thing that is answered. I just don't use it. Yep. Is it like I unlock an ally slot, that ally is specifically this unit from this other army, or is it I have X amount of points to spend on whatever unit from that ally?
No, I think you choose whatever you want. It would have to be destruction since you play a destruction army, but I think you could choose.
This is great.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked for the new age 2.5.
Yeah, allies in general, I think, are
the new age.
Yes.
The newest age.
The new
age. I think allies typically are never really supposed to be more than like 25% of your force anyway.
Right.
So whether you're, you know, spending 25% on like a crazy, you know, whether you spent on like a mega gargant or something, that would be a huge points cost, or like a little block of goblins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those would both be options for you. They both take up one slot. It's just up to you. You know, if I was playing you, I would get some fucking screening units.
Yeah, you need those.
Yeah.
Now, this is a selfish ask, but I would like, it'd be really cool. It'd be nice to see everybody have painted armies at the end of this
campaign. Again, I brought paints today to paint my ogres to finish up what's not painted and bring them home so I can finish them.
And that's like a new age 1.0 idea.
That was
like,
literally the main idea of why we do it. It's like, well, this gives us a reason to work on our collection.
Do we want to keep that in there? Like,
unpainted models have a -1 to hit?
No, I think
that was our original idea.
And we enforced it on...
A few
I would
games.
Say un,
the frail
unprimed.
And weak of the group. We
how about this? Unbuilt, unprimed. If you want to play with a fucking unassembled fucking thing.
There's really only one person I can think of who
I know.
This applies to.
But
like a big spellcaster unit or something?
It also doesn't give anybody... Like, primed models kind of suck.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Like, it doesn't give people
Listen,
any incentive
but here's
to paint
the thing,
them.
Too. Anyone... Like, so, of everyone in our group, nobody is... going to just nobody is so into the game that they want to play with unpainted stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No, you're right. You're right.
There's no like power gamers that are just like, all right, I got the plastic that I need in order to play this crazy list that I wrote. Nobody is like that. So I don't think that that's... I don't
which
think
I am guilty of.
But like, and it pushes, though, people who maybe their goal is to paint an entire army, which is all all four of us.
Yeah.
It pushes those people to be like, well, now you have... Like, not only is that your goal, but your goal also directly ties into the
campaign. I don't know. I feel like that too, because I remember when... When we started playing and that rule was put up, I definitely felt really negatively about it because I know I'm a slow painter and I'm just like, well, fuck. Like,
I think when we initially did it,
it was also primed.
Primed was the rule. But I think when we initially did it, the slow grow, I think, was a lot slower than we hoped it was going to be a lot slower than what it was actually.
Yes. I was going
to
say.
In base Path to Glory, you can go up to 1,500 points after one game, technically.
Yep.
Which I kind of don't like that. I like starting with like a hero in like two units.
That's what I'm saying. I want to play like four games at that level before we get to that next.
Yeah. So,
and we should be a...
So I personally think anything smaller than 1,000 is like a not... I think sucks.
Yeah, I get it.
For the game itself.
And I get that too.
Yeah.
But I would say 1,000 and no... named characters.
Yes.
I agree.
Only unique
Even 1,000 points for a lot of people. I mean, like, I have 1,000 points painted, but 1,000 points to get that painted, that's daunting task to try and get 1,000 points painted.
Especially when you just bought a brand new box and they're still sitting in your basement.
Yeah, for Empire guys,
the thing is though,
it's a lot of models.
We have had a lot of time. At this point, it has been over a year.
Yeah, it's been over a year since we started. So that's
I know.
So my box just came out. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you had it.
Just
Empire
came
box.
Out in September?
2 months ago.
2 months? Okay.
Yeah.
But you had models before that,
correct.
Which I know you don't love, but like
you
can slowly transition out the stuff that sucks.
But I'm saying if we start at 500 points.
I'm just defending the other seven people in the group.
It gives us a little bit more time for Dakota to build his models.
Whoa.
We're
using names, bro?
Yeah. For,
well, maybe he'll listen and fucking buckle down.
No, I hate to say it, guys, but the other night when we were
he doesn't listen.
He said he's far behind.
What? His...
on Hive Scum.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's fine. By the time he catches up here, maybe he'll have them painted and he can laugh at us. And
listen, I told him bring his models and paints or don't show up, and he showed up and left all his models in the car.
Yeah. Wow.
Listen, I love Dakota, but I think for people like that, you know, it's nice to start at 500. And 500 for Empire, how much is 500 for Empire? That's probably two.
Cities of Sigmar, first of all.
Oh, I mean,
probably a great sword unit.
Bretonnia.
Second of all, great swords aren't in the new codex.
Yeah, but
elite infantry.
Yeah.
Great steel helms.
That's probably
such a stupid
name.
It's way cooler.
20 great. It's probably two units of 20 is 500 points.
And then a character. Games Workshop sponsored.
Well, thing is, well, if we're calling people by name, I think Blurs wants to play.
That's
Blurs
true.
Can he plays giants.
Oh, yeah. Frick,
one,
I forgot.
Which that's
250
about,
points per giant.
Is it?
I thought it was
regular
size giants.
Okay, but those can't be characters. The characters are the big ones, and those are
about 500. He's got King
Blurs, bro. Yeah, King Blurs.
Which that's fine. He could play a game with a single giant.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
I guess then that's
true. He would lose the game virtue of it being points.
But,
I know he doesn't
care.
Yeah.
He also plays his whole army with a dice system where his dice determine
what
they
do. Decision making has been transferred to the dice.
He was telling me about that, and it's so cool. Like the way
just giving up all agency to the dice.
I like
it's
that.
Cool. It's very
because then if anything happens, you're never gonna be mad about it. Yeah. You're always just like, oh, that was
dice
funny.
Dice game, baby.
If you guys aren't familiar with Blurs, King Blurs, Blurs Craft. A mad genius.
Oh yes, a mad scientist. Some might say,
man. Oh, he is peak performance when it comes to hobbying.
Yeah,
very cool. Very, very cool. But yeah, I'm really excited for this. I think that like it would be, you know what even would be more fun? And I was like, oh, this would be really sick as if instead we started as like a skirmish thing.
I agree.
We started as Mordheim.
Well.
Or something like that. You
we
know?
Could just do Forbidden Psalm, a game of Forbidden Psalm each. Like one game.
Just to start it?
Oh, Gage hates us. Okay.
I don't know.
I'll die.
Yeah, he really hates indie war games.
Yeah,
so.
I hate indie games.
Indie developers.
Yeah,
indie.
I hate them all. Yeah.
No, I want to play Games Workshop games, I think.
The only problem I would have with that is the mechanics of Forbidden Psalm are so fucking deadly.
So
your army is starting off like...
It's just for fun.
Okay. For fun is fine, but I'm saying narratively, if we actually care about this new realm that we're all fucking teleported to, if we're playing Forbidden Psalm to start our armies, we're going to be handicapped from the start. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good.
Okay. So then how does your five guys, where three of them are failing their casualty rolls at the end, translate to a 1,000-point game next?
Listen, I play death, man. There's nothing that I could do whatever okay,
great,
I want.
Works for you, yeah. Maybe, but...
Bring it back, brother.
I feel like there's like
I mean, we could play OPR Fantasy Skirmish, which is...
We could play Warcry.
I'm not learning that game.
Oh, man, Warcry.
We could play...
I'll just say all of these, they essentially make all of the work that I put into the map irrelevant. They are literally Age of Sigmar missions that are set up on the map.
You could just play Age of Sigmar Skirmish.
Yeah, what's Age of Sigmar Skirmish?
Is that a thing that exists?
No, I'm saying just like a skirmish-size Age of Sigmar.
Like we were going to do for 40K kind of thing, where it's like each unit just has...
You could just divide the prices of the unit up to model per model, maybe, something like that.
And it still doesn't help blurs out.
Well, you know...
Could be unit size.
Yeah.
Yeah, do 250 points and it's skirmish based. You break the units down by points just per point model. Per,
yeah.
Yeah.
Free Guild Steel Helms, by the way, are 100 points.
So
10 models is 100 points.
So 10 points per guy.
Yep.
So you could take your hero and like five of those and then something else.
I was bringing that up because you were talking about painting for, so that'd be per 50, point requirements.
50 guys would be how many points?
500?
500. So it's like, dude, that alone is pretty daunting venture just to get 500 points painted.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't bring that, but no. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But yeah. And so, like, I'm trying to, like, limit, you know, I don't want Phil to be overwhelmed with, like, the rules and the scenarios parts of it. I don't want people who may have armies to paint and their goal might be to paint an entire army in a year to be overwhelmed with how much they have to do immediately. Either way, I don't care.
I think my dilemma...
Oh, so you don't care about me?
Yeah.
I just want to see people progressing with it. You know what I mean? If we're playing these games, no one's painted... Like, this week they showed up and they were half-assembled, or they're assembled and not primed. Then the next time I play, you're primed. And then the week after that, you have some colors on them. It's like, that is fine. That's totally cool. Yeah. But if every week you're showing up with plastic models where the bows aren't on them... I'm not going to want to play you.
Yeah, right? And I guess maybe it's just like peer pressure at that point. It's like maybe we don't worry so much about whether things get painted in time. Maybe it's just the idea of the shame you would bring on your name by showing up with
your house.
Models.
Some people get off on that, man. They don't care.
Oh, God, that's true.
But I don't know. 500 points, I will say, I can't even bring a unit of guys and my hero with 500 points.
You're probably right. It probably does have to start with 1,000 or at least 750. To be doable.
Our heroes are going to actually... Like, are we going to do Anvil again? Because Anvil kind of sucks.
No. I've been saying Anvil sucks since the beginning.
Yeah, and I think it adds too much to it.
If people want to do Anvil, go right the fuck ahead. I'm not interested.
I had significantly more fun when instead of using my Anvil character, you were just like, why don't you just run him as a Vampire Lord? And then I did it, and I was like, this is so much easier. This is so much more fun for me to run this as just Vampire Lord.
I really liked Anvil.
I like the aspect of customizing my character, but when I'm constricted to such specific things for certain heroes, and then the buff like off the rip don't apply from my army rules.
At the end of the day, Age of Sigmar is not a big custom character game.
I know, exactly.
If that's an issue, then play a different game. You don't like that. That's what this campaign is.
Dude, don't put it on Steve like that.
I mean, he's gonna go campaign play is meant to be narrative and fun.
Yeah.
So my fun is I want to make a custom character.
It's not supposed to be fun.
Well, no, but it's like what's fun for you is to like invent an item, give it to your character, and then be like, okay, so I gave my guy like a +2 damage weapon that I made up and assigned a arbitrary point value to, and let me go smash you with it like that.
My fun is making a hero that is not just one from the book that exists already.
Yeah, but also it's like I have no problem making like Nezerat, even though I just run him as a Vampire Lord. Yeah. He's like a named character in my world.
Yeah.
Not just like a guy, though, that already exists in your book. He is special. Yeah.
But like his rules are Vampire Lord rules. Yeah. I just make his own little custom card that says Nezerat instead of Vampire Lord. Yeah. Those are his rules.
Right, right. I think it was more... The reason I liked it so much is I really like my guy on his two-headed dog and his huge hammer. And then going through Anvil and being like, oh, there's rules for hammers. Oh, there's rules for the dog. I can now make this part of my hero.
But you could still do that.
Yeah, rules as written. However, but I'm saying, as everyone is agreeing, Anvil's rules for the game are bad. they're way overcosted.
You would have to do so much house ruling that it's like, all right, well, you might as well just create your entire own character generation system.
Right. Yeah. But like, I also don't mind being like, oh, there's no rules for dogs in Cities of Sigmar. There probably are. But
there are now.
You just go like, oh, I'm taking the direwolf rule. I got no problem with that. But you know what I mean? You talk to the rest of the group. I got no problem with you running a single direwolf and having a direwolf stat card, and it's just one direwolf.
I think
that
it
does
just becomes
damage.
It becomes Calvin Ball with a lot of people. Where
Calvin Ball?
How'd you get that unit in your army? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I had this idea for lore, and I took something from another army, and I just took the point value and put it into mine.
Oh, come on. Who's going to be here complaining about that?
Not me.
Not anybody. Come on.
I mean me. Sometimes.
I think
it depends.
That's what I mean. I think it's in theory is like a lot of people look at it. It's like, well, that's not how this game works. Why the fuck?
Because
are you
the
doing
second
that?
Someone wins with a custom dog guy, they go,
everyone gets mad.
You only won because you're dog guy, and it's like,
well, who's gonna say that?
Me.
Phil, would you really say that?
Well, first off, you're not going to win because of your one custom dog guy.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I mean. Little custom dog guy does dog guy damage. Who cares?
Dog guy damage.
Mean, dude, listen, if you, like you said, show up with some ass beater with a huge freaking sword and you're like, this sword's a +2 weapon. Yeah, but like, who, yeah, come on. If somebody does that, I'd be like, come on. Like, I don't know. You'd be like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, I took the stat block from a book. It's called Baneblade.
Oh, yes. It fires missiles.
The idea is like getting all of these things hammered out before start play.
Yeah.
You know.
We need a New England War Council meeting.
Yes.
Everyone has to bring a potluck item.
Yes.
I like that.
We sit at a table. Phil sits at the head of the table wearing a bear's skin. Mm-hmm.
With a hammer.
Wielding a hammer.
Yes. And then whenever you come up with a bad idea, he
smashes it on the table.
See, my beef is I miss things from old games that do not make appearances in new games. I'm like, well, why isn't that a thing? And I get, you know, they just didn't want to write it, or they just didn't want to balance it, or they didn't want to, what I mean?
I think it's a balance thing more than anything.
I believe it is. The more variables of customization that you add make it harder and harder. It makes it easier to make, like, broken combos. It makes It makes it more difficult to balance a game.
I think a idea kind of going in with this map system and how we were talking about, like, maybe it crosses multiple games where you could play what is Hero Hammer? Fifth?
Sixth.
It's
fifth and sixth.
So if a Hero Hammer specific style play is what you want, maybe we still keep it within, okay, we're going to play sixth.
Ooh.
But you're playing with what you have in a sixth rule set to still kind of sway these games the way you want.
Cross rule set gaming.
That's what I'm saying.
Straight up, dude. Yeah. Now we're talking. Now I can do 1v1. What if we do that? Like, it's like, okay, in the same game system, if you're like, I really do want to play Forbidden Psalm today, it'd be like, all right, Nezerat and Mitan and a bunch of zombies versus your guys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let's just play on the Mordheim map and see what happens.
Right. And then that way it can still influence that. That idea originally, Trent miscast. Kind of gave that to me. I think his gaming group does that with a lot of
any game you play within the world.
Dude, OPR regiment game.
That's what
you
I'm saying.
You play that, but it's in this world and it's just like you're playing, I'm playing my
that way everyone can kind of get what they want out of it, but maybe it still will be like Age of Sigmar's the backbone.
Yeah.
And is still the driving factor of us to paint our armies, and people that are only play Age of Sigmar probably within it will still get what they want.
Yeah.
But if you really wanted that narrative, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that also adds a shitload more work for everyone to figure out. Or maybe it doesn't.
No, you're just playing separate games in your own.
Yeah.
That would have to be talked about between the two people, obviously. You can't just roll up. I brought 2,000 points. And then you're like, oh, I brought all my OPR stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'll go home.
What game are we playing today?
Yeah. No. What if you just played OPR and then I just played sixth?
Yeah, that works.
Hey, there you go.
I'm playing Forbidden Psalm and you're playing Age of Sigmar.
No, but it would be really fun to kind of explore that and be like, or we play like a big game and then it's like the post game is just the two. I don't know.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. There's a lot there.
Then we play Gaslands.
Yeah.
That's part of the universe. Yeah.
Gaslands.
Gaslands in the map. Yeah.
Yeah.
As you can see, listener, there's some questions that need to be answered.
We got to figure it out.
and we're going to figure it out.
Or we won't.
Or we won't.
And then we'll just sell, and then Phil will just rule. Which might be the idea of just being like, okay, King Phil has the final say. And he says no. And bangs his hammer on your fingers. And you go, okay, sorry.
It's on the fingers.
Yeah, it's on the fingers. Oh. Big hammer on your hands.
I thought it was on the rhetorical table we had, our feasting
table.
It could
be on the table, but your fingers are on the table.
Uh-oh.
Anyways, what do you think, guys? Do you think it's time for... Hey. Come on. You know how to use this?
Oh, my notepad's over
hey
there.
Guys,
hold on.
This has been great to talk about, but what if we had a...
Where's the button?
What if we had a...
Why is this blue button so
I'm going to leave
so
this
bright?
All in here because it's very funny seeing you trying to figure out how to do this. What if we did sort of like
we
a...
We just have to turn it up. It's always on.
What if we
did...
And
then we have to turn...
Then you have to turn the knob for it, the green one.
Who's going to... It's this guy.
Maybe if
is
we
it
had
Terry?
A question from the hive.
There we go. We figured it out.
But then what's the question?
What's the question?
Got a question?
The computer's way over
We're
there.
We're going to go check the computer for a question.
Is it in the drive?
Don't forget to turn that knob. Find the knob. Questions from the Google Drive. Steve's aggressively looking.
Why don't you keep this one on and just turn everyone else down?
Because it freaks me out. I think I'm doing something wrong.
Okay.
I'm very particular about the way I do things. Steve's reading through the questions.
This one's a good one. Our good friend at Texas Bug Lady. Mm. Or Texas Lady... Wait, what?
Texas Ladybug Authority?
Yeah. I always think it's Texas Bug Lady.
I always thought it was Texas Bug Lady, too.
Well, Ladybug Authority.
He asks, biggest hobbying gaming pet peeves?
Uh-oh. Too many custom rules. That's my pet peeve.
Who's going to be passive aggressive and say that?
No. I don't like when people play Dead of Dunharrow in the Lord of the Rings Middle Earth Strategy. All right. No, I'll think of a real one. Sorry, Steve. Steve's looking at me like he's going to kill me.
The first one that comes to mind, it doesn't really bother me, but it's definitely probably the definition of a pet peeve is when people pick up their dice too fast.
Mm. Oh.
I got six hits and take their dice. And
I've been
like,
trying to be better about that.
I'm like, I don't necessarily think
so
you're cheating.
When you always pick up the misses and not the hits.
Correct. You know. I try to do that.
Yeah, I've been trying to get better at that. Because I didn't even think about the idea that it could be misconstrued as me being cheated. Like, I would just want to go faster. And yeah. I always felt like I was playing too slow, so I would always try and go fast. And only later on was I like, oh, I look like an asshole.
No, you rolling dice is a thing. You can only roll dice at one speed. The thing that takes people a long time is like...
Counting.
No, it's just like flipping back and forth through a book.
Yeah.
Like they just like don't know what's up or they spend a lot of time just like waffling over what they should do. Sit there scratching their chin. I do that a lot.
Letting the timer run out.
Yeah.
So they just like, oh, the cool. We drew. Pet peeve. I would say, no, I don't even know.
Twiddly fingers.
Like a hobby pet peeve. I don't really give a shit what other people do, so I don't really have a hobby pet peeve.
That's my pet peeve.
I would
people that move models and they clearly go like not just like a half inch over
real wiggly finger shit.
Yeah, like where it's like, oh, I can only move here to here, but I ended up here.
So where they measure first, take the ruler away and then move it.
Without marking.
Yeah, without having any designation of where they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you could tell appreciate, you know, I watch Gage move his models. I love watching Gage move his models, which is a weird thing to say.
Thanks,
but
man.
You're really good at just like measuring and moving. And there's something kind of graceful about the way that you do that action, which I think is very beautiful.
The narrative of me failing in games often is more exciting to me than winning.
Mm,
so, yeah. Like when we played our 4-player Middle Earth Strategy Battle Game, Battle Companies game the other day, it was funny at first for all three players on the other side of the table all converged in one area. And I was kind of just left by myself in the dust. And then I was like, wow, this kind of sucks. Everyone's having fun for two rounds and I'm not. And then coming in, I ended up fucking washing. I took out two models, I think, of everyone's warband, maybe only one of yours, but
I don't know.
The archer.
I was right. Yeah, you definitely took out that archer.
But then I was just crushing it. And I was like, well, this is also part of the narrative. But me getting to that point and then failing and having to do leap tests and stuff, I was like, this is more fun. It's not like I'm not having fun with my friends, even though I'm playing the same game. So I don't know. I can't imagine Wiggly Fingers being like a mindset that someone's like just rushing to get to that point. And it's like, well, if you really needed a rush like that, why didn't you just either A, deploy better, or I don't know, not cheat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I would say probably, I mean, it's got to be like, that's got to be my pet peeve too.
Just use dice. Mark where you fucking are supposed to move and put all your fucking guys behind it.
You have two hands. You know what I mean? It's like you measure where a model goes. You put your hand down and then you move your model up if you have to put your measuring device down.
Yeah. And I think that like all of us, none of us would really take those liberties of just like wiggling up too much. But when you're playing with people you don't know,
yeah,
it is like almost tilting. And I never really get like, I never really get like that. It happens a lot with like Magic the Gathering.
Dude. Yeah.
People going way too fast with things and trying to breeze through stuff. And it's just like, dude, stop.
I don't play your deck.
Hold up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like rewind.
I think in especially in Magic too, it's like the second someone has to explain a combo.
Yeah.
They're revealing the weakness. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's also a state of the game.
Yes.
You should be telling me the combo.
Yes.
You should be telling me what's happening.
And it happens a lot with that. And I always get like really mad when I'm like, and but I make them repeat it. I'm like, right. I am the guy who will just be like, yeah, I'm going to punish you.
Yeah.
You think people are going to be too uncomfortable and they're not going to make you explain everything. Read the card for me, please, sir.
Yeah.
Like I will, and that happens all the time with just like when you're playing random strangers and they're just there to win and they're trying to like breeze through combos and not explain it. They want to
not
put it
giving
on
you
the other
steps
person.
That you can interact with and stop it.
They're banking on people not being able to discuss what's going on.
The thing is, I get it. If you're like, I'm doing this, do you respond? No. Okay. We're going to move to the next part and not like fully explaining where you're going with your chain. To like,
yeah,
correct. I think inherently, though, people think that explaining the chain reveals the weakness in itself,
yeah, and it does,
and it does, but at the same
time, if you're trying to hide it,
yes,
exactly.
A sneaky guy,
it does explain it, but that's why I talk through everything I do,
right?
When I
right.
play Magic the Gathering, it's like, I'm going to do this, and I don't pause, but then I explain, and then when I do this, then this happens,
yeah,
and so that way they can see every step of the way. So they're like, whoa, wait a second, when you do that, this is what I'm going to do, because I don't mind, like, I'm not going to wait there and be like, if they don't respond to this, then I'll move on. I'm not that type of gamer, because that's the other side of it too, is over explaining it and over waiting and being like, do you respond, kind of thing about everything, and I'm like, I'm playing red goblins, I don't respond. However, I want you to let me know what the freak's happening with your deck.
Right, right.
I don't want you to just be like, oh, I go infinite. And I'm like, where?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Tell me how
you have
10
cards on the field right now.
Yeah. But in games, I would say that also, specifically that Gaslands experience when that guy was just like wiggling by, where it's like, I don't know this game well enough. And you are full on taking advantage of the fact that I don't know this game well enough. And that in itself
you win.
Is freaking mean.
Yeah,
like it's bully mentality of taking advantage of a game that you might not know the rules about.
Flying across the world to cheat in a toy car game.
And sometimes I think about how that guy got a medal. He got a second place medal for Adepticon's Gaslands play, and I lost out to him because
it's hanging above his fireplace.
Yeah. And I, maybe it is.
You know, while he's cleaning toilets, he's real happy about it.
I still think you should have won the best painted. Like the guy who painted the same car as you.
I don't know about that.
If you're judging it by like Golden Demon standards, that guy was clean as hell.
That guy's car was.
If you're judging it by Gasland standards,
that's the standard I go by.
I know. And mine was looking pretty good. But also Mudbug was looking pretty good, too.
True.
He had some nice
cards. We got to chill with them again this year.
And I will say, a couple other people were like, ooh, I think I might want to play Gaslands. The experience that I had with that Gaslands group is there are a lot of people who...
White Line Nightmare?
Yeah, the White Line Massacre, I think, or something like that. It is a really cool thing that they run at Adepticon, and a lot of people were like, ooh, maybe I'll play this, I think Master Blaster in particular was like pretty stoked on it. The people that were playing that first year, once again, the rules have been out for a little bit longer, so it might be different. But there were a lot of people who did not know the rules.
Yes.
And you could tell immediately if like you're like, you don't know the rules, so like let's work this out together.
Mm-hmm.
And while there were people there that were like kind of trying to take advantage of the rules and people not knowing the rules, you have to bring the If I wasn't there to be like, oh, hell yeah, guy, I love your cool little rocket bugs that you got going around here. That would have
been a very stale
hangout. It would have been weird. It would have been a lot of people who were kind of, I feel like, probably eventually would have been accusing each other of being like, no, that's not how it is. But you got to keep it light. So right, if you're going to play that and you're one of the homies of the listeners, go into it and be very friendly with these other people playing it.
The guy running it is very nice, too.
And the guy running it gave me a whole set just for watching you.
They were very outgoing, and they would be able to, if it's the same two guys, they would be very happy to help you out with any sort of trouble that you have playing the
game. Like, it being sold out, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to play. He's like, you can play. Like, if you got a car, you can come, like, make your car right now. Come play.
Yeah. If you're going to play it, go in friendly. Go in friendly and go in realizing that other people probably don't know the rules that well and just have fun.
Or aren't friendly themselves.
Yeah. Just a couple of people. But honestly, I got those motherfuckers on my side too. The bowler hat guy who had like the most OP build.
Mythbusters guy, yeah.
Mythbusters guy. Me and him were still like jabbing each other. I was like, oh, dude, that's so sick. And so I got him like hyped too. Because he wasn't overly cheating. He knew how to play the game really, really well. He wasn't wiggling his damn fingers and winning second place because of that.
I think that's my like true answer for the pet peeve question is when kind of like asking rules about what you're doing, especially in tabletop, because Magic is a little different, but like in tabletop where your army has something specific. You have a cool special ability, and it's me being like, "Hey, can I look at what you're doing?" Or like, "Can I look at the rule?"
Intended.
Not immediately someone being like, "Well, I'm explaining it right." And it's like, "No, that's okay.
I wasn't accusing you.
I am not processing it the same way you're explaining it. I would like to know how."
Especially everybody has really different armies. So like your rules are going to be vastly different than my rules.
And the thing is, we play more games than fucking anyone. It's like, at a certain point, dude, they're all blending together, bro. I don't know.
It happened once on this podcast already.
Like, I don't know shit about shit at this point. So I would love to see your rule book and figure out the rule. So
it's funny. It goes to Magic. Like, the playing against someone who plays blue and you're just like, well, this guy playing red and green still might be able to respond to my spell. And But it's the same thing with wargaming now where I'm like, I'm so hesitant to move within certain ranges because I'm like, well, can he go beyond the actual normal charge range? Can he move like further than, and I'm just not picking up on it. Like when I play Phil, I assume all of his guys have an extra D whatever of movement to charge. I'm like, well,
they don't. None of them have that.
You do have a rule with one of your units that gets extra movement.
Yeah.
And that's what I think of.
I had that
every unit
last edition.
Oh, there you go.
Well,
you
don't still, have to worry about it doesn't matter.
Anymore.
I still fucking
PTSD of it. Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like a thing of where is the rule getting confusing, and like I don't know, so I get scared, and I don't want to get too close.
No, it's the same thing. Yeah,
I think just generally being nice,
being nice.
So I guess that's really where it's like a lot of our pet peeves is just like be a nice person when you're playing games. Don't cheat. Don't purposely try and win like you're by like nefarious means. And hype each other up. Be stoked on each other. You know?
You know?
Ain't that just the rule of life, you know? Just be kind.
The following is an excerpt from Ramshackle Games Bogland. One delicacy of Bogland is the stew named King's Arm. Its main ingredient is the appendage of a Boglander. Once a sunworm colony begins to gnaw away at the flesh of an arm, but before it begins to waste away, as all such limbs will do in time, it is removed. This is a special time in the life of a Boglander, where they give their member as sustenance for their family and friends. A great pot of water will be boiled, and into it put the arm and vegetables and such meager herbs and spices that they possess, and it is shared openly with all who enter their abode. This stew is also the working stuff of the Pulmentomancer, and the most potent of these concoctions is made with the arms of the reigning king. As the current king is two people as one, the royal Pulmentomancer is privileged that he might augury with four pots of this most powerful elixir, true king's arm stew, for the king has that number of limbs. Four arms means four pots of king's arm stew. This is seen as a great portent of good fortune for the Boglanders.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Hive Scum. If you aren't already part of the community, check us out at the In Rust We Trust Discord, which you can find down in the description below. If you have questions you'd like to ask us, you can find our Instagrams down below as well. Or feel free to ask away on the Discord. We also have plenty of extra content and other perks available to our patrons on Patreon. So if you're interested in helping us keep doing what we're doing, then you can find that description below as well. Until next time, folks, keep it grimdark and keep it grimy. Peace.